Quiet down as we listen to Arlen's prelude. Thank you. After the chimes. Thank you, Arlen. Again, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome to First Christian Church, and congratulations. All of you have perfect attendance for 2019. Give yourselves a rep. Only 51 more weeks, and you'll be as good as Larry. So, who seems to get perfect almost every year. Did you make it last year, Larry? You missed it. Well, something to strive for 19. Please take a moment to fill out the information on the friendship sheet. It is sitting at the center aisle. If you'll fill that out and pass it to the end and then back to the center so that we have a record of your attendance today. If you are a guest, we'd appreciate your number email things that we can get in touch with you so that we'll have that information. We have quite a few announcements. Scholarship applications are due tomorrow if you're wanting those for the next semester. We're having board meeting on the 14th. And tomorrow night is elders meeting. We will be having the installation of our elders later today, and it's good to see so many of you out there. There is a diaconate meeting on Sunday the 13th, and I know that we have undecorating today, but Amber wants to say something about that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good morning. If
people will stay and help. We can get this done really fast. I would just ask that if you take a area to undecorate, I think Brenda and I will take care of up here, but if you take an area, all the boxes, all the totes are marked specifically for that area, so just make sure stuff goes back in those boxes. We would appreciate that, and we appreciate any help. So thank you.
Also, if you had purchased a poinsettia to honor someone, please take that today, because I think otherwise they're going to be gotten rid of. So, and those are too beautiful to not have. Are there any other announcements? I know that Cindy has one. Any others as she's coming up? Okay.
So I would like to take this opportunity to thank those elders who are leaving their term of service. They are not leaving the eldership. Once an elder, always an elder. And your term of service on the Board of Elders doesn't mean that your duties as an elders are done. You just do them as needed rather than on a weekly basis. So we have a great group of men and women who are coming on, but we are losing some amazing people as well. Is Dennis here today? He's got big shoes to fill, and not just their size. So I will miss his strength. Ted? No Ted. They are taking advantage that.
Already lost their first attendance.
Becky. Pat. Charles. And Brenda. Thank you so much for your service and guiding and all of the time and prayer that you have given to this church. And if you'll meet me downstairs, I'll show you a neat trick with your gift bag.
Thank you, Cindy. I speak for all of us that are going off when I say thank you, and also that it has been an honor to serve this congregation and our greater global work. And I agree, once you've been an elder, you don't leave. It's kind of like the Cosa Nostra, isn't it, I think?
Yeah,
kind of like that. So anyway, please take this time to locate our first hymn and then stand and greet those around you. Which Cosa Nostra only means our faith. So eldership is our faith, right?
I want to know if that was
food in the bag. I don't know yet. See, Cosa Nostra only means our faith. Eldership is our faith.
Thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad everybody's not watching.
This is not the first time, nor will it be the last time.
Number 162, what child is this?
Please join me in the call to worship. God of promise, light of mystery, guide our journey of faith.
Give us courage and hope along the highways of life.
We bring our gifts to honor you.
We bring ourselves, seeking your Son, your greatest gift.
May your holy light continue to illumine our path. Please join me in prayer. Lord, as the wise men of so long ago, we seek you. We do not seek you in a manger, but we seek you in our hearts and in the service that we can provide to your people. We know that there are people who, when they see us, we may be the only Jesus they know. And although this may seem like a daunting task, you are there with us every step of the way. May 2019 bring us a year that we are seeking and finding you continually. We ask this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And the Magi departed in another way to return home. I'd like to invite the children to come up for a time of sharing this morning. Now, we usually sit down together on the steps, but don't sit down today. We're going on an adventure. Like the wise men, we are going to be following the star, and we're going to be looking for Jesus. So we will follow the star and see if it leads us to where Jesus is. Jesus is in the manger. So we have found Jesus as the Christ child, and we celebrated his birth at Christmas, but that's not the only place Jesus is. When we come to church, come follow me. When we come to worship, we hear the scripture being read, and we find Jesus in the scripture. And not only that, so we might hear Jesus in the pulpit, we also find Jesus at the table. When we break the bread and we drink the cup in communion, Jesus is here. If we keep following the star, all the way up here is where the baptistry is. And when it's filled with water and people stand in it and are baptized, Jesus is there. So we keep following the star, and we find Jesus in many places. We find Jesus in the manger. We also find Jesus in the cross. But we're not done yet. If we look around here, there are places where there is light, and the light reminds us of Jesus. We see all these candles. But I wonder if we look out in the sanctuary, I wonder if there's a place out there we might see light. I wonder. Let's look. Let's follow the star. I think there's even someone who received a light today as a gift. I don't know. It might shine. We are looking and following the star. Hi, Natalie. The star of Jesus leads us not just to the pulpit and the table, but to God's people. And here in the midst of all the people of God, we find Jesus. Jesus is here when God's people are gathered together. And so whether we are in one place or we are traveling and journeying, every time we see the star, every time we seek God's light, every time we hear scripture, and every time we get together with other Christians, we find Jesus. We're going to have our prayer today here in the midst of God's people. Let's join hands. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your birth that we celebrate at Christmas. We thank you for the ways in which you are revealed to us that we celebrate at Epiphany. Thank you, God, for the gift of light to guide and lead us. Bless these children throughout this year, that they may follow your holy light, that you may be present in their lives. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. You can go to Sunday school today. I think we've seen an example of good parenting. Our little ones have checked in to make sure mom and dad know we're going to Sunday school. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. And as we share these, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you, find a prayer card, take that out and write a note to someone who needs a word of encouragement. Today, as we install our new elders, we're praying for all of our elders, and we also pray for Cindy Huckfeldt as she steps up to be elder chair this year. It is a new role for her, and we pray God's blessing upon her leadership of this group in our congregation. Cal and Monica Decker will be going to Sheridan tomorrow. Monica is seeing a neurologist there to work on some different kinds of therapies. We continue to pray for Tricia Wood's father, Scott Whitcomb. If you're interested in helping provide a meal just to ease things for Scott and his wife, see Joe Cox for information. Eli Halleck is doing well. He continues the ongoing journey of recovering from cancer. He is home from the hospital and doing well in between chemo treatments. We pray for John Barrett and his family. They visited us before Christmas for worship, and John had his first chemo session on Friday. We pray that it is going well. Oakley Gallup continues to fight cancer as well. It's a blessing today to have Phil Ostrander's parents visiting us from Sioux Falls. Levi's grandma and grandpa had some time with him this week, and we were hoping this would be Levi's first Sunday in worship, but he's not quite ready yet. Phil and Becky are working on it, and we are just so excited that things are going well for the Ostrander family. Rita Peterson's daughter, Frankie, will see the doctor tomorrow. We continue to pray for her as she lives with liver disease. The missionary we're lifting up today is Kara McKinney, who serves in Mexico, and we've received a request for prayers from the members of First United Methodist Church in Casper. If you follow local news and you've read in the paper, you know that their former pastor, Brian Oliver, has really been struggling with a lot of life issues. And that, of course, even though he is no longer in active ministry with them, it still impacts the congregation. We ourselves went through something similar after Dr. Badger's retirement when he had an issue that he was struggling with, and it weighs heavily on the hearts of those who love their former pastors. So please pray for First Methodist. They are blessed with a very strong interim pastor who will be with them for a few months yet. Our regional prayer partners are the members of First Congregational Christian Church of Samoa in Magna, Utah. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you would like to sign and send greetings. Pastor Sai was with us at Fall Feast, and it is a blessing to have a Samoan church as part of our broader family. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to share? Tammy.
Prayers for the Wyoming servicemen that are getting ready to go to Afghanistan.
Prayers for Wyoming servicemen who are getting ready to go to Afghanistan. I presume that's with our National Guard unit. So prayers for the Wyoming National Guard and for their families. Charles. Prayers for Malia as she struggles with addiction. Jane. And what's her name, Jane? Prayers for Melody, Colin's piano teacher who is struggling with cancer. Mike.
Prayers for the college students that are going back to school this week and weeks ahead.
It's been a blessing to have your grandson Dylan home for break, and we pray for him and for all of the college students returning. Tom.
Yeah, I've been working on Sundays still, and I got food poisoning here on Christmas. I almost went to the hospital.
Praise the Lord. We are glad that Tom has recovered from food poisoning. Not a pleasant experience at all. And we're thankful he has Sunday off work so he can be here. Michelle. Prayers for those looking for jobs. Pat. Prayers for those affected by the government shutdown. Prayers for those looking for work and those who have work and can't go to their jobs. There was another hand.
My cousin Janelle and her husband Jesse. Jesse's sister was killed on
Prayers for Janelle and Jesse. And prayers of peace and eternal rest for his sister who died after being struck by a drunk driver on Christmas Eve. Let us hold all of these prayers in our hearts as we turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O holy Lord, you are revealed to us both at the birth of Christ in a manger and through his death and resurrection. You are revealed to us in the majesty of starry skies at night, the beauty of sunrise, the glory of creation around us. Holy One, you are revealed in the human heart when it is filled with compassion for those who are in need. O good and gentle God, in times of rejoicing we give you thanks, and in times of struggle we turn to you for strength. Throughout this dawning year, Holy One, may you be revealed in the gift of Christian community, in this congregation, and in gatherings of believers around the world. Lord, we ask your blessing upon those who are called to lead fellow believers. We pray for Pastor Sai and the members of the First Congregational Church of Samoa of Utah. We pray for Cindy Huckfelt and all of our elders, those stepping up to serve for the first time and those who have served faithfully for many years. We ask your blessing upon Karen McKinney, the work she does in Mexico and the service of missionaries around the world. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ just down the road who are worshiping this day at First United Methodist. Lord, we pray for healing for their former pastor, Brian Oliver, as he struggles with significant personal issues. We pray for their current leadership, their interim pastor, Janet, their associate pastor, Mary, and all who are leading in that congregation. O God, may they know your peace even in times of turmoil. Holy God, our prayers stretch around the world. Our hearts break open for those who are affected by war, by natural disaster, by tragedies even beyond our fully comprehending. We pray for safe travel, O God, for each member of the Wyoming National Guard, for the men and women who will go to Afghanistan soon to serve. We pray for safe passage for them and a successful mission. Lord, we pray for the soldiers and citizens that they will work alongside of, that your spirit may be present in the midst of the most trying times. And we ask for comfort for family who wait eagerly at home. Lord, we give you thanks for the privilege of work. And we ask your blessing to be with those who are seeking employment, and with those who are not able to work for various reasons, including employees of the federal government during this time of financial shutdown. Lord, thank you that Tom May has a Sunday off and is able to be in worship with us, and we pray for continued healing, that he is completely recovered from food poisoning. Lord, we lift to you prayers for Malia and others who struggle with addiction of various kinds. We pray for those who are living with cancer, including Colin's piano teacher, Melody, Trisha's dad, Scott, Paul's grandson, Eli, Oakley Gallup, John Barrett, and many others. We thank you, God, for those doctors and nurses and researchers whose life calling it is to seek a cure for cancer and to journey with patients during hard times. Oh God, your people do indeed face hard times. We cannot fully fathom the grief that Jesse experienced on Christmas Eve when his sister died. Oh God, we pray for all of those families who have lost loved ones to drunk drivers, for those families who have lost loved ones as victims of violence. Lord, we pray for people who are responsible for the death of others, for the guilt that their hearts carry. We ask by your mercy that forgiveness may come after repentance is offered. Lord, may your peace be with Janelle and Jesse, Erica, and all of their family. In those moments when they turn and expect to see a smiling face nearby and are reminded that she is with you in eternity, may their grief be tempered by precious memories and trust in you. Lord, we pray for Cal and Monica, giving thanks for their trust in you, their continued faith, and we ask for a safe journey as they go to Sheridan so she may see a new neurologist. We pray for safe travels for all the students who are returning to college and for good semesters of learning, of balance in activities, of young people growing up into adulthood and learning to manage their time as they study and enjoy life. Oh God, for all that we have named today, and for many others who we hold in prayer in our hearts, we ask the gift of Epiphany, the revealing of your presence in all of our lives. In Christ's name, amen. We regularly pray for missionaries around the world, lifting up the name of a different Disciples of Christ or United Church of Christ missionary each Sunday. One of the gifts of mission work is when missionaries come home to visit congregations in our own country and share stories of what they have seen and heard, the ministry they have shared abroad. One time, a missionary was visiting a local church and was staying with a member of the congregation. The host took that missionary to church to drop her off early before going and picking up a homebound member and then coming back. The plan was that the missionary would speak to the whole church after there was a dinner served in Fellowship Hall. As the host pulled up in the parking lot and the missionary stepped out of the car, the driver said to her, "Now go in these front doors and follow the spaghetti." At that point, the host drove away. The missionary was somewhat baffled. Follow the spaghetti? Is there going to be a trail of pasta on the floor? But undeterred, the missionary turned, having had stranger directions than that in life, opened the front door, and was immediately greeted by the aroma of spaghetti sauce being cooked and garlic bread in an oven. Wisely, the missionary began to follow her nose, and it was clear without a shadow of a doubt she needed to go down the hallway to the right, the hallway to the left, and downstairs. Follow the spaghetti turned out to be the simplest directions possible. Later on, the host showed up with a homebound member they were giving a ride to. The congregation served the spaghetti dinner, and the missionary told stories of work shared overseas. Have you ever had strange directions that seem kind of confusing and hard to follow at first, and then you figure it out and it makes perfect sense? Follow the spaghetti. As followers of Christ, we might receive the same directions the wise men did, follow the star, follow the light. We might also receive the simple directions, follow the table, follow the cross. Every Sunday, we gather here to share bread and fruit of the vine. And in doing so, we find Jesus in our midst. Perhaps your nose won't lead you to the table today, but your eyes will. And I pray even more so, your heart will lead you to the table to find Christ here. All who are in worship this day, who long to know the presence of God and Jesus Christ, are welcome to share in the bread and the cup as they are passed. We'll prepare for communion by singing number 173, the first and last verses, As With Gladness.
We search and find Jesus. And what a glorious time that is. But as we search, in our hearts, in our lives, through the people that we meet, we remember that there was an adult Jesus who searched for peace and meaning, and in doing so made the ultimate sacrifice. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Before we pray, if you are able, please stand. Most gracious God, as we, your congregation, gather together in this great sanctuary this very first Sunday in 2019, we have come to worship you and to celebrate your love. And we stand now in honor to honor your Son and our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, who ministered among us with great love before he was rejected by the rulers, crucified on a cross, died and was buried, and amazingly was raised from the dead on the third day by you, and lives among us this very day. We know that we are fed by his hands, carried in his heart, supported by his arms, guided by his spirit, instructed by his words, and warmed by his love. As we come before the Lord's table now to partake of the bread and the cup, symbolic of his body and blood, and to offer our own prayers, we give thanks to you for the privilege of being called his. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Please be seated.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I was blessed with the opportunity to go to church camp, and I was doubly blessed that my church, as ours does, paid for part of that. They scholarshiped part of that week so that my parents did not have to shell out all of that money, which understandably back then was a lot less than it is now. As a college student, I was blessed because my congregation gave scholarships for us to be able to assist in buying books or whatever we needed for school, as our congregation does. As an adult, I was blessed time after time with gifts from the church and by the church based on what my congregation gave. So when you give today, your tithes and your offerings, understand that you are helping literally from cradle to grave all of the people in this church, as well as the broader church at large. Our diaconate will now wait upon us for our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the generosity of your church. May you use the time, the talents, and yes, the treasures that we give, and multiply them exceedingly, so that people on earth and all around may know you and the work that you can do in their lives. Amen. Thank you.
They came from far, following a distant star to where he lay. Not being sure of what it meant, but knowing it was heaven sent, they made their way. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried. The angels knew what was to come, the reason God had sent his son from up above. It filled their hearts with joy to see, and knowing of his destiny came tears of love. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried. I've often thought about that night and wondered if they realized the star so bright was sent to tell all the land the Son of God would soon become the Son of Man. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried.
Our scripture reading today is Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. It is on 690 of your Pew Bible. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew, the second chapter. In your Pew Bible, New Testament, it's on page 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Janice, for singing for us today. You always have such a lovely interpretation of different country songs for us to hear. Thank you. Would you pray with me? O Lord, as we seek your light on this Epiphany day, we pray that our hearts, our minds, our souls may be opened to encountering you through the gift of Scripture. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I also want to thank our trio and Kathy for presenting the wonderful hymn, "We Three Kings," and for the three gentlemen who portrayed the Magi for us. If you all don't know Chuck Germain and Al Metz and Alan McKenzie, they have been coming to First Christian Church on Saturday mornings at 7:30 for decades. They can't remember quite how long it's been. But Dr. Badger used to lead a men's Bible study every Saturday morning, and they were part of that group. And through the years, the numbers have dwindled, the men have moved away or passed, and yet these three still come. Sometimes I slightly irreverently joke with them about being the Three Stooges, and they just chuckle. So they said it's actually a promotion to have the pastor call us the Three Wise Men. And they were really good sports to come today. They have been attending chapel for a while now and participating in Sunday school as well. So thanks to Chuck and Al and our musicians today. We often portray the Magi, the three kings, in such a simple way as was portrayed today, with three men wearing crowns and bearing gifts. As the men were preparing for their dramatic debut this morning, they chuckled about how the costuming wasn't truly authentic. I don't know if you noticed that Al McKenzie was wearing a choir robe, but we found clothes that fit them, and I said, "Well, that's okay. The gold you're carrying isn't real gold either." And they said, "Oh, okay." Actually, it would be rather challenging to realistically, accurately, historically portray the arrival of the Magi. Not just because frankincense and myrrh are a little hard to come by. You can order them online, and they're not quite as expensive as they used to be. At one point in time in history, they were more valuable than gold. But the challenge would really be the sketchy outline that we have in Scripture. You see, if you really read closely Matthew's account, at no place does Matthew say that there were three people. There were three gifts. It could have been one or two people brought the three gifts. It could have been a whole retinue, a dozen servants and rulers carrying their gifts. We do know that in the Greek they're referred to as magoi, where we get the word magi. It actually means a word similar to magician. They were most likely Persian Zoroastrian priests. They were astrologers. They were people who spent their lifetime studying the heavens for signs of significant events on Earth. So it's not surprising that they would follow a star from a distant land, perhaps originating around where Iran is now, making their way towards Bethlehem, which is in obviously modern-day Israel. It would have been quite a journey. It would have taken time. It's almost a sort of shorthand to say the three wise men, because we don't really know. For that matter, we don't actually know the exact calendar year when Jesus was born. His life was so significant that the way time is tracked changed. So previous years are referred to as BC, before Christ, and AD is from the Latin Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. But scholars aren't sure that Jesus was actually born in year zero. We didn't turn the page in the calendar at that exact point in time. He could have been born anywhere from 4 to 8 BC. It's kind of an estimate that we get. We also don't know how long it took these magi, these Persian priests, to make it from the time they first saw the star until they arrived in Bethlehem. There's a clue later on in the text. If you continue reading, you learn a bit more, not so much about Jesus as about King Herod. He was apparently a rather jealous ruler and frightened of the fact there could be another king. In fact, the story from this lovely point of three beautiful gifts being deposited takes a nasty turn and ends in bloodshed. When Herod kills all the babies in Bethlehem who are 2 years or younger. It's based on the time when the Magi said they saw the star first appear. There's kind of this two-year window. So the joke is sometimes made, since we don't actually know whether they were men, there's no indication of gender in the Greek in Matthew's text. The joke is sometimes made, well, if it was the three wise women, they would have showed up on time, helped deliver the birth, brought practical gifts. Have you all heard this? Yeah, I brought practical gifts, maybe a casserole and some diapers, and not needed directions to get back home. So it's actually kind of tough to accurately, historically portray the arrival of the Magi, the folks we refer to as three kings, but we don't know if they were kings or not. We know that they brought gifts suited for royalty. Gold, then as now, was a precious metal and used as a currency. It could be exchanged between different countries and different cultures with inherent value given to it by those societies as well as our own. Frankincense was burned in temple rituals as a sign of offering prayers to God. So the second gift indicates an awareness from these foreigners who weren't Jews at all, but it indicates an awareness that they knew not only was there something royal, there was something holy about this baby they would meet. Perhaps the strangest gift of all was the myrrh, a rare item used as a spice for embalming the dead, perhaps given as a theological sign of Jesus' death yet to come on the cross on behalf of humanity. Whatever the details missing from the story might have told us, the point is clear. These wise ones sought to follow the light in order to find the Messiah that they could pay homage. In our own lives, do we look as hard to find Jesus? Do we, like the wise ones of long ago, seek the presence of God in the world? Lately, I've been reading the author Barbara Brown Taylor. One of her current works called Grounded talks about the shift in Christianity. There was a time when the church had a very clear place in the world, and there was a finite definition of God. There was a time in human history when it was vastly understood that God lives in heaven. It's kind of a three-tiered awareness. And beneath the earth, there is a place of eternal fire and damnation, the realm of Satan and the demons, and the earth is in between. So humanity lives in this middle level. With that clear definition of God belonging in heaven on high, being the Holy One, the role of the church was to build a ladder, a gateway ticket from earth to heaven, so you didn't have to worry about going down below when you died. The whole focus of the church was getting people to God who's way up there. Barbara Brown Taylor argues that this cultural understanding of God and the role of church began to change during the Great War and then during World War II. When the Holocaust came, people around the world began to ask, where is God? How could something so horrific be allowed to happen if God is truly holy and good? It's taken a few generations for Christianity to begin to understand what was there in front of us all along with the revelation of Jesus in human form. That God is not far off and distant, but God is here with us. Where was God in Bethlehem? God was in the manger, but God was also present in the home of every family where a child was slaughtered by Herod. During the Holocaust, God was present in those countries that tried to resist evil and tyranny. God was present at the death of every Holocaust murder. God was interred in the prisoner camps. God was at Auschwitz. It's a radically different shift in the understanding of the Holy One. If God is not just up there in heaven, but God is with us, our faith gets to be a bit more messy. It was shortly after World War II that churches really began to shift how they did ministry. They began to open their doors more than they had before to reach out to the communities around them to try to wrestle with the reality that God is present in the world as well as in the pulpit and the pew. God is present at the coffee table as well as at the communion table. The word epiphany itself means a revelation, a revealing. It's that aha moment when you come to understand a holy reality. The revelation of God, moments of epiphany, continue to happen in our lives today. It may be when you're sitting in worship and you sing or hear a song or a text that touches your heart, you glimpse God in a new way. But it might also happen in a hospital room when you're holding the hand of someone you love whose body is racked by cancer. It might happen when you're driving down the street and something moves you to pull over and talk to that scruffy-looking veteran who just needs a cup of coffee and to be seen and recognized and acknowledged as being human. Because in the presence of humanity, there is the presence of God. My friends, this year, may you be blessed with many epiphanies. May you follow God's light. Not just a star or a candle, but may you follow the light of Christ and discover the Holy One is already in the world waiting for you. May it be so. Amen and amen. This morning, we're going to have a special service of installation for our new elders. Cindy Huckfeldt, as chair of elders, will read for us part of the calling, the responsibility that we expect our elders to live into.
The responsibility of the eldership is to teach and express the nature of the church and the spirit of Christian living in word and deed. To give wise counsel to individual members and to the congregation as a whole in the face of the perplexities of its life together. To represent with disciplined clarity the church's understanding of the significance of communion at the Lord's table through its prayers. To set forth to the people of God an engaging vision of the congregation's mission and ministry. To share in the positions of church leadership in accordance with the congregation's practices. To guard in all things the purity, unity, and peace of Christ's holy church. Those who have been recognized as elders for this year, please come forward. Carmen Goodman, Nicholas Grooms, Lonnie McBee, Linda Mosteller, Erica Stupak, Terry Morrison.
We are truly blessed with some wonderful gifts for leadership and spiritual care in this group of incoming elders. They will be serving alongside 10 continuing elders. Our board of elders has 16 members, and they provide care for the congregation, as we have heard described. To the six of you, I give the following charge and invite you to respond, "I do." In the light of your calling to this new responsibility, do you reaffirm your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And do you promise to follow him and to seek to do and to bear his will all the days of your life? Do you believe that the word of God in the Old and New Testaments, discerned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is the authority for faith and the conduct of all God's people? Do you commit yourself to the well-being of the church, this congregation, and the church universal, and through God's grace fulfill a servant ministry of care and concern for all of our church's members? May the Lord bless you and give you grace to keep these vows. One of the traditions of our congregation that has evolved over the past few years is that we have a special time of prayer for incoming elders. We anoint them with oil and ask other elders present to lay hands on them to pray for God's blessing. The last several years, this simple ritual has been shared at the elder dinner in December. This year, our elder dinner is going to be the end of January, when all past and present elders and their spouses will gather together for a time of fellowship. But Cindy asked if we could have this prayer of anointing happen in front of the congregation. And we felt that Epiphany Sunday would be an appropriate time for that to happen. I'm going to anoint each of these elders and pray for them, and I invite you to be prayerful with me during this time. And then we will ask our other elders to come forward to join in the laying on of hands. Let us be in a time of prayer. Carmen, I ask for God's blessing to be upon your life. It will be a new adventure for you to be an elder, and I'm so thankful that you've stepped forward and said yes to this responsibility. May you be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lonnie, you have shared such gifts with our church in so many ways in the past. Being an elder isn't new for you, but it is a blessing for us. May God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as you serve as an elder. Erica, you have grown in so many ways in this church. You have led our children, and now you will have unique opportunities to lead your adult peers as well. We pray that God will bless you as an elder. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nicholas, it is a blessing to have four generations of Groomses in our congregation. We admire your dedication as a father to Mackenzie and Natalie, as husband to Maggie. We also are thankful for the gifts that you have shared in leadership in this church as board chair and elder previously. Thank you for answering God's call to be an elder again. May you be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Linda, you are a treasure. You have just completed your term as board chair, and here you are in another leadership role again. Thank you for saying yes to being an elder, and may you be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Terry, you are a gift to this church. You are a solid part of our chapel community. You have served as member at large in the board. You bring with you gifts of leadership from other congregations and other denominations. We are blessed to have you. We look forward to your leadership during worship, at the table, and presiding in the service. May your service as an elder be a time of growth for you, as well as for all of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I would invite the current board of elders, those who will be serving alongside these six, to come forward. I'm going to ask you all to kind of step to the center. And then, as well as our current elders, I would like to ask all past elders of the congregation to come forward to join in the laying on of hands. Scripture speaks of the laying on of hands as a sign of prayer, a reminder of the presence of God. And in many branches of the church, there is a vision of succession of the Holy Spirit being handed on from one generation to the next. In addition to the elders coming forward, I would invite all of the congregation to join us in prayer. If you're comfortable doing so, simply raise your hand where you are. Pray in whatever way is appropriate for your own spirit and your own spiritual journey. And let us pray for these servants. I think Ed Struby is going to come join us. It is a long way forward. He is an elder emeritus, a longtime elder of our church, and has served as an elder briefly during my tenure here, but even more so prior to that, and it is a blessing. So we'll wait for Mr. Struby to come up and be here with us. For those of you being newly commissioned today, I invite you to look around, pay attention to who's laying hands on you, and know that if you have questions, these are the first folks for you to call. If you need somebody to pray for you, if you feel like, what on earth have I gotten myself into, these are the folks you turn to and ask, how do I do this? How do I write a prayer for the table? How do I find the courage to visit somebody in the hospital? How do I reach out to a new family in our church? Ask those who have been in this role before to share with you and give their words of wisdom. Now let us pray. O good and gracious God, we truly long to follow your light, O Christ, into the world. We long to be bearers of your holy light, that in places of darkness your love may be revealed. Good and gracious God, we ask your blessing upon each of these elders, that in their time of service, there may be many aha moments, many epiphanies when you are revealed to them. And may that revelation be shared boldly with the church. Proclaim your word to and through these elders, that they may be spiritual leaders a First Christian Church in Casper. In Christ's name, amen. You all may be seated. God bless you, Carmen. I'm excited for you. The commitment to serve and to bear God's light belongs not only to the elders, but to all of the church. With that in mind, I invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 355, where you will find a Disciples of Christ affirmation of faith. We will read this together and then share in our closing hymn. 355. As members of the Christian Church, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior of the world. Our closing hymn today is number 469. We will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. And if there is anyone looking for the light of Christ, longing to be a member of this congregation, or needing to rededicate your heart to the Lord, you're invited to come forward as we stand together and sing. People of God said, amen. Amen. I would remind you that there are refreshments downstairs. The elder chair is hosting coffee hour today. There is a cake waiting to be shared and coffee and other refreshments. I hope you'll stay for a brief time of fellowship. After you grab a cup of coffee, enjoy your cake. If you can, stay and help put away our Christmas decorations so that we're ready to move on into the new year. And if you would like to take a poinsettia home with you, take one that is around the manger. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, may your light truly shine in the world. May we learn the mystery of Christmas and the mystery of what we are meant to do and to be, that we may follow your light, O Christ, and bear your love into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.